Hey everyone, and welcome to Dose of the Dead podcast. Today is September 15th, 2017, and this is episode 14 of the podcast. This episode I decided to do something different. Instead of picking songs from like this time period of Grateful Dead, specific tours following, or anything like that, I decided to pick two studio albums and talk about them a little and play songs from just those two studio albums. So if you saw my Instagram, you saw that I am going to the albums I picked is their second album, Anthem of the Sun, and their third album, Oxomoxa. Tried for like 5 years to try to pronounce this, and you're just gonna have to bear with me. So these two albums are similar but different in different aspects. Both of them are during a time where the Grateful Dead still didn't have their like distinct sound. They were really trying to experiment and find themselves, find what they wanted. They were working in the studio with all new equipment. They just wanted to try stuff out, see what worked with what sound they wanted. And in Anthem of the Sun, there is it's a borderline studio album. I mean, it has half studio tracks and half live tracks mixed in with each other, so it is considered a studio album, but it's not like a regular, it's not like Oxomoxa, how it's just, straight recordings. So, the songs that I'm gonna be playing, three songs from each. So for Anthem of the Sun, which I'm gonna play first, we're gonna be hearing That's It for the Other One, New Potato Caboose, and Caution, Do Not Stop on the Tracks. So like I said, Anthem of the Sun is their second studio album. It was released on July 18th, 1968, and their goal was to translate their live sound into the studio. So that's why there's the mix of live snippets in between the studio tracks. David Hassinger was the producer, started out as the producer of the album. He also produced their first record, but with so much time in the studio, and he said everyone was just really, he just couldn't take the, laid back and everyone on all different kinds of drugs, and he just wanted to get it done, and they were still trying to experiment. Like I said, they never really had the hands-on experience in the studio, so they wanted to see what they could, get out of it. They said it was more of like a teaching themselves how to work the studio. So with only about the third of the album done, Hassinger quit and walked out, said he's not producing the album anymore. And he also claimed that what pushed him over the edge was that Bob Weir saying he wanted to record, create a thick air illusion. So he wanted to mix the recordings in the desert and the city. So he thought that would create the illusion of thick air. I don't know how, it's a good idea, I guess, but I don't know how well that, would have worked out, or if you could hear any, difference. So Dan Healy, took over and wound up, producing the record. The songs on there, the track listing is That's It for the Other One, New Potato Caboose, Born Cross-Eyed, Alligator, and Caution, Do Not Stop on the Tracks. So really, for the sake of it being played regularly through their regular catalog. Not many songs were on here. I mean, Alligator, and they were all played earlier. They didn't last, and they weren't played as much in like the 80s and 90s. Obviously, besides That's It for the Other One, that was only played until 71, a few times in 85, and then they took out the whole Prelude Suite thing, so it just became The Other One, and that was played regularly up until, Dead and Company plays it constantly also. So the first song that we're going to hear is the first song on the album, and it is That's It for the Other One.
The other day they waited, the sky was dark and faded, silently they stated, he has to die, you know he has to die, and all the children. Watch him die. You know he has to die. The summer sun looked down on him. His mother couldn't but come on him. And all he saw from him. But it doesn't seem to matter. Unbending, you had to die.
So there was That's It for the Other One. So, like, if you haven't heard these songs before, you can obviously tell that they're a little bit different than the Grateful Dead you're used to. They're a lot more psychedelic, like, really all over the place. But that's what I think is cool about them, because it's not like your average studio. Like, if something came out like this now, in 2017, people would think they were like absolutely out of their mind. And I mean, a lot of people probably thought they were out of their mind in 1968, but now it would just be like, it would, I don't know what would happen. But this was considered one of the first like early forms of a concept album. Some say it may have been the first concept album, with like the psychedelic whole aspect to it, and stuff like that. The Dark Star, single was released just before Anthem of the Sun and is not included in the album. So I think they kind of messed up on that a little. But it would have been cool if that was also on this album. Other things cool about this. Oh, that's what I meant to say. There is the that Classic Albums documentary. If you haven't seen it, it usually picks just one album, but it's called From Anthem to Beauty, and it shows the making. You could see what I'm talking about with how they're in the studio working, like, quote unquote, as Bill Kreutzmann said, madmen, Jerry and Phil. So you could see the anthem. Making of Anthem of the Sun, Owoxo Moxo, Working Man's Dead, and American Beauty. So there's four albums altogether that you could see on Classic Albums in a documentary. It came out like 20 years ago, but it's still pretty cool to watch. So for the next song, we're gonna listen to track two on this album. It's called New Potato Caboose. I think Bob Weir actually recently performed it with Phil, not too long ago, which is funny. But it kind of sounds better if you just fade it right into That's It for the Other One. But for the sake of this being a podcast and not just listening to the CD, we'll do it this way. So here's New Potato Caboose.
When storm sound like a crown. Wind and torn embrace, you're all alone. The eyes are blind, blue visions, all a seer can own. And touching makes the flesh to cry out loud. This ground on which the seed of love is sown. Thank you.
new Potato Caboose, and we're going to play one more song from Anthem of the Sun, and that is going to be Caution, Do Not Stop on the Tracks. So overall, I like this album. I mean, it's not something you could just put on and listen to. You have to be in, like, a certain mood, and you have to devote time to listen to this album. You can't just be like, oh, I want to listen to new Potato Caboose, let's put on track two. Or, you know, I want to listen to Alligator. Like, I feel like you have to listen to the full album. You have to have set out 45 minutes of your time and just sit there and listen to the album. You can't, it's not like, you know, Shakedown Street where, oh, I'll listen to Shakedown Street and Fire on the Mountain. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to listen. You know, you can't do that with this album. I think that's how it is with really, I mean, no, actually, I take that back. Really just Anthem for the Sun. It was their first studio album. You could listen to certain tracks, and Owaxo Maxoa, you could listen to certain tracks also. But for Anthem of the Sun, I think this is really sit down, and you have to get into it. You can't, it's a commitment, I feel like. So, well, I mean, most people would say that the Grateful Dead is a commitment in general, but the commitments of commitment would be Anthem of the Sun, I feel like. So for the last track on this album, here's Caution, Do Not Stop on the Track.
I went down one day. I went down to see a gypsy woman just a one old day. Yes, I did. Wrong with me and my baby. We ain't been getting down like we used to do. I mean, it's pretty good now. But there was a time when it didn't work too well. I went down to see this gypsy woman, you understand? And I told her my story. I told her what was going on. And she told me, man, she said, All you need, that's all you need, bro. Just a touch. just a touch of mojo hands. I'll bring it back home. And it feels pretty good. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay, so that's it for the other one. No, I'm kidding. That's it for Anthem of the Sun. Next album we're going to go into is Oxomoxoa, like I said. This was the album following up Anthem of the Sun. It was released June 20th, 1969. There's a lot of firsts for this album. It was the first rock and roll album to be recorded using a 16-track technology. So this took even longer in the studio with Jerry, Phil, and everyone trying to figure out. They've never worked with this equipment before, so it was a whole new world, not just for them, but for everyone. But they took it upon themselves to learn it and not have just certain people, you know, do the job for them and tell them what to do. They wanted to learn the technology and know what they were doing. It was the first time Robert Hunter was listed as a full contributor of the band. And it was also their first acoustic songs recorded in the studio with Mountains of the Moon and Dupree's Diamond Blues, which is, I guess, a little taste of the next two albums almost in their entirety with Working Man's Dead and American Beauty. So you get it's a little bit of a crossover album, I feel like. You got some Working Man's Dead, American Beauty, some Anthem of the Sun kind of tracks, which I'm going to be playing more of those. I'm not going to be playing Mountains of the Moon or Dupree's Diamond Blues. The track listing is St. Stephen, Dupree's Diamond Blues, Rosemary, Doing That Rag, Mountains of the Moon, China Cat, Sunflower, What's Become of the Baby, and Cosmic Charlie. So, like, unlike Anthem of the Sun, a lot of these, not a lot of them, but St. Stephen and China Cat Sunflower was a, you know, staple to the Grateful Dead's repertoire. And they also played Dupree's Diamond Blues a handful of times. I mean, they brought it around back again later, and I never heard them play What's Become of the Baby. That's my least favorite track on this album. But overall, I think it's a good album. I think it was considered the apex of their experimenting. The first three studio albums, like I said, were all jumbled into different ideas and everything. So this is really the tip of where their experimenting went. Obviously, after this album with Live Dead, and then Working Man's Dead and American Beauty, their studio albums were nowhere near, for popularity standpoints and chart positions, and also how they were composed and everything. It was just nowhere near these two albums. So they obviously learned something and made good out of it. So the first song we're going to be playing off this album is going to be St. Stephen, which I'm sure everyone heard plenty of times. But this and China Cat Sunflower, I feel like, sound a little bit, well, obviously they sound different, but it's like the mold of the songs. And then the live, they just start building, branching out off of this mold. So this is like I don't want to say basic versions of the song, but in theory it is. So here is St. Stephen.
The people all complain. Stephen prospered in his time. Well, he may decline. Did it does it now? Stephen would answer if he only knew how.
Saint Stephen. Like I said, it's only like 4 minutes long, so that's like nothing compared to the live Saint Stephen's, along with the Trying to Catch Sunflower. I think it's only like 3 or 4 minutes long, but still good. So the I want to talk about the covers of both albums. They're, I think, Oxumoxo was rated the 8th best album cover of all time by Rolling Stones in a poll they took and voted on or whatever. But just the detail of Anthem of the Sun and Oxumoxo was just, I think, outstanding. And it's originally it was made for a poster for the band, like a concert poster, and they saw it and wanted to use it as their album cover. So it was just great. I think it's just like awesome, the album covers. I mean, if you do think about it, all the album covers are really good, but these two are, it really goes with the music, the experimental and psychedelic aspect of it really ties into one. So I think they're pretty cool. The next track we're gonna play, well, the next two tracks, I lied, we were playing four off this album, not three. So the next two tracks I'm gonna play are Rosemary and then China Cat Sunflower. So here you go.
China Cat, China Cat, China Cat. hell beneath the shower of pearls illegal. Wing palace of the queen, shining.
So there was Rosemary and China Cat Sunflower. So we're just going to play one more song, and that's going to be it. I hope you guys like this new kind of segment I'm doing for this episode. We're not going to be doing it all the time, obviously. It's just a maybe once in a while type of thing. Maybe we do it again with Working Man's Dead and American Beauty or something, or... I don't know. Let me know what you guys want to hear. They don't have to be like albums that follow each other, but I try to keep the same. Want to keep the same theme, like to it. But we could do whatever. So I'm sure all of you heard that Dead & Company announced their fall tour, which is going to be great. I already bought my tickets for Madison Square Garden the second night. Yeah, tickets are pretty expensive. They're for I got mine like all the way up in upper deck. But I mean, I expected that with Madison Square Garden, tickets are always crazy expensive and overpriced. I saw Philly was $50 for the $75 seat that I paid for, so it's kind of annoying. But I guess that's what I don't know. It's just stupid. But tomorrow, the November 16th, they go on sale at 10 a.m. for if you couldn't get them for the pre-sales, which were nothing special. You did. I mean, you're just gonna want to pay the same thing or maybe cheaper on StubHub or other sites. Or if you get them before the concert, you probably get them a lot cheaper. So, November 12th and 14th, they're playing at Madison Square Garden. November 16th, Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. November 17th, TD Garden in Boston. November 21st, Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. November 22nd, XL Center in Hartford, Connecticut. November 25th, Little Caesars in Detroit. November 25th, Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio. November 28th, Spectrum Center, Charlotte, North Carolina. November 29th, Phillips Arena, Atlanta, Georgia. December 1st, American Airlines Center, Dallas, Texas, which is cool that they're playing in Texas. They never play in Texas. Dead & Company in Frank Irwin Center in Austin, Texas. December 2nd. December 5th, Smoothie King Center in New Orleans. That's also awesome. And then December 7th and 8th, they're playing in Orlando, Florida at the Amway Center. And then Sunrise, Florida at BB&T Center, which is also really cool because they don't play in Florida that much. So I don't think I'm going to be able to go as many as I did in the summer, but I'm definitely trying. I already going second night, Madison Square Garden. Be definitely looking going to Philly. Really want to try to make it to Connecticut, but it's the day before Thanksgiving. It's hard because I work during the week, but this summer a lot of they had big shows on the weekend, so that was easy to make it to. This majority of these shows are during the weekdays, which sucks, but we'll see what we could do. So we're going to play one more song from... So like I said, we're going to play one more song from Oxomoxoa. And it's going to be the last song on the album, Cosmic Charlie. So hope you guys enjoy this. Like I said, let me know if you want to hear anything else, any different type of episodes you want to hear, anything. Let me know on Instagram or Twitter or anything. So have a great weekend and enjoy.
is coming.